Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm here today with an old friend of mine who is the executive director of the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western PA, Jim Joyce. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm always excited to talk with you because I find your job so fascinating. You work for an organization that's really moving mountains for a pretty serious health issue. Why don't you explain to the folks out there myasthenia gravis?
Sure. So myasthenia gravis is a very rare disease. It impacts about 1 in every 7,000 people. And what it is, it's a chronic neuromuscular disease that causes severe weakness of a person's voluntary muscles. So what that means is that it might impact a person's ability to talk or breathe, maybe swallow. They may have very extreme muscle fatigue in their arms and their legs. Some people may have facial drooping or eyelid drooping, all things that can really impact a person's day-to-day life for sure. Myasthenia gravis, there really isn't an idea of why it occurs, but it can occur really in anyone from very young to very old, men and women, any race. It really has no particular group of individuals that it impacts. And right now, as I said before, there is no real known cause for the disease, and right now, no known cure. So that's why organizations like MGA are very important to make sure we're supporting those individuals that have myasthenia gravis and making sure they're getting connected to healthcare professionals that can help them.
Amazing. And tell us how you got involved in this organization and how you had to get up to speed on all of this.
Sure. So I started with the organization in the fall of 2019. And was in the middle of a career change, and I really looked at what I really enjoyed doing in my past positions, and really loved the fundraising component. Really loved the day-to-day operations. And when I was job hunting, this sort of came about. This was recommended to me. Researched the organization a little more. It's a small organization, but we have a really large geographic footprint. So that was very intriguing to me to work on a small team. But really have outreach to not only Western Pennsylvania, but parts of New York, Ohio, West Virginia, Maryland. And really now with technology and social media, we get calls and emails, have interactions with people from as far away in the country as California. And actually, in the last several months, we've talked to people in Australia as well as parts of Europe who found us online. And they're struggling with this disease, so they were looking for additional support as well. So it was interesting. When I started in 2019, COVID struck about 3 months later. So I often say I don't know if I really understand the full extent of my job to this day, because every day has been a little bit different with COVID. But it is very rewarding, and really being able to help individuals who many times most of the population have never heard of the disease that they have. So just to be able to promote it and really support those people is very important to me.
Oh my goodness, yes. And you've met many people now with this affliction. So can you tell us, some of the different kind of symptoms that manifest themselves?
Sure. Like I said, it really impacts a person's voluntary muscles. One of the interesting things is that myasthenia gravis is often referred to as the snowflake disease because it impacts everyone who has it a little bit differently. So just like there's no two snowflakes that are exactly alike, there's no two people with myasthenia gravis that are exactly alike. So I've met people who they have more of an ocular myasthenia gravis. So it really impacts mostly their eyes and their vision. They, again, as I said, may have like eyelid drooping, those sorts of things. I've seen people who need to use oxygen every day because it impacts their breathing on such a high level. We see a lot of people that we hear their stories that, they will go through sort of peaks and valleys where when they're struggling a little bit more with the disease, they have a lot of trouble walking, talking, and as I said before, maybe even swallowing or breathing. So everyone is a little bit different. The stories, are sometimes very difficult to hear because you do hear a lot of suffering that the people are going through. But at the same time, there's also a lot of hope with some new treatments out there, and hopefully one day we'll find a cure for.
So, Jim, whenever these people reach out to you, what are you able to connect them with, the families who are impacted by this disease, the people themselves. How do you help connect them to services and physicians and things like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. If someone is local here in Western Pennsylvania or one of the surrounding states, we have a nice database of physicians and different healthcare providers that we have worked with, feel very comfortable with, and referring those individuals to. The Myasthenia Gravis Association, as an organization, also does a lot of education, both virtually and in person. We offer support groups, different types of programming for individuals. So obviously, when people call in, we offer those opportunities as well. When we get calls from more further away, like I mentioned, across the country or even across the globe, what we really are able to do is reach out to a network of other organizations similar to the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania and are able to really help either connect them to those organizations that may be a little more close to where they live or at least get additional resources. A good example was we had a call from a woman in California. Who had a younger child, I think 8 or 9 years old, that was diagnosed with myasthenia gravis, and she was looking for pediatric neurologists who may have some expertise in this area. Obviously, I wasn't familiar right off the top of my head with California neurologists, but was able to reach out to several organizations that we now have very good working relationships with, and was able to get her 4 or 5 different physicians that she could, reach out to, determine what was the best fit for her and her child, and really help her in that way. So it really depends on what the individual is looking for. Many things we can handle here on a local level, but if we do have some requests from a little further away, we do have a good resource to help those individuals as well.
Yeah, I mean, because you've said before that diagnosis with this can even be tricky, right? I mean, getting them to the right people at first can become critical.
It can. Diagnosis many can many times take, months, if not years, to be properly diagnosed. One of the things that we hear a lot is because sometimes when someone initially has myasthenia gravis, they may have that facial drooping, many times maybe slurred speech, something like that. So it may present more like they're having some kind of stroke or, other kind of neurologic emergency condition. So obviously the physicians want to rule out those things before they start looking elsewhere. So it may take a while. Usually myasthenia gravis is diagnosed through blood work and some other testing. So it may take a while. It's usually a little further down the list of what a physician may be looking for, just because it is such a rare disease.
Wow, it's it's so critical that people understand and know. And your website is packed full of information. Do you want to tell people how they can connect with you?
Sure. As you mentioned, through our website, which is www.mgawpa.org. But if they would like to speak to someone, they're welcome to call our office as well, which is area code 412-566-1545.
Wonderful. Jim Joyce is telling us all about the myasthenia gravis of Western Pennsylvania, how important it is to connect with this organization. You have meetings, you have seminars, they're free, they're open to the public, and you try to do all that to grow awareness and help people understand their diagnosis.
Yeah, correct. And really, we really look at having three pillars of how we're supporting people. The first is through education. And obviously, we talked a little bit about that already. The second is through advocacy. Because myasthenia gravis is such a rare disease, we're really trying to raise awareness, not just from a healthcare professional and patient basis, but also from a elected professionals as well as, employers, things like that. So if someone is diagnosed, they may not even have ever heard of the disease. We try to really raise awareness through that advocacy effort. And then the third is support. And a lot of our support is done through education, but we do a lot of other support mechanisms like our support groups and just providing, those resources to those individuals. So we really feel if we can help individuals with those three layers of their disease, we can go a long way in supporting them very well. As they connect, with their healthcare providers going forward.
Give me a shout out to your board and your volunteers.
Sure. We have, great board of directors. Right now we have 13 individuals. I won't name them all, personally, but, our leadership, our president of our board right now is Bob Cribbs. Our vice president is Bill Murtha. Our secretary is Phyllis Morosco, who I know you know very well. And
Yes.
then our treasurer is Tom Golden. All of them are very dedicated for one reason or another. Most of them either have a friend or relative who has had myasthenia gravis, or may have it themselves. So very, very dedicated to the cause. And our volunteers, we really couldn't do what we do without them. As I mentioned before, we're a very small organization, but we have probably 20 to 25 volunteers who really come out, whether it's a fundraiser that we're doing or an education program or a conference. They come out, help us, staff all those things, tell their stories. And I think, one of the interesting things is it myasthenia gravis is such a rare disease that it really, I think, has created a very tight-knit community. So when someone with the disease reaches out to their friends and family and says, "Hey, can you support X, Y, and Z that the Myasthenia Gravis Association is offering?" We usually get a great response. So our volunteers are very critical to the operation and really making our organization be able to run on a day-to-day basis.
Jim Joyce is the executive director of the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania. It's a support, education, and advocacy center doing great things. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about two upcoming events that you can participate in that will support this wonderful organization. There's a paint and sip, and there's a Taylor Swift guitar raffle. You can't miss that, so stay with us. Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm happy to be here today with my old friend, Jim Joyce. He's the executive director of the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania. It's a support, education, and advocacy center doing wonderful things to really just bring some attention and awareness to this very, very difficult disease. And, Jim, I want to talk about the upcoming paint and sip on December 7th. It sounds amazing. Give us the who, what, when, where, why, and how.
Sure. And thank you again for this opportunity. This is our fourth annual paint and sip, which, is sort of crazy to think about. This was started right after COVID started, and we were looking for ways to continue to be able to fundraise, but do it in a safe way, try to get people together, even if it was on a virtual level, and have had such a great response over the last 4 years that we continue to do it year after year. So we're really excited about it. It's taking place on Thursday, December the 7th. And we're going to start around 7 p.m. and usually goes until about 8:30 or 9. So we try to get people wrapped up, in time to finish up their evening on a normal hour. And again, because this is virtual, what we do is we have a Zoom meeting set up. If you register for the program, you will get a Zoom link emailed to you. And last year we had upwards of 100 people in their homes, different locations. Some people decided to get together in small groups. Other people decided to do it just with their family members. But it was, really well attended, and everyone loves it. Christy Walters, who is another old friend of mine and a great friend of the organization, she's an art therapist. She actually helps create the snowflake and themed artwork. So again, as I mentioned before, myasthenia gravis is known as the snowflake disease. So we always try to do some form of snowflake related artwork. And Christy does a great job. She's very entertaining, very energetic, high energy. So people love her. And then also we can't, do our painting without also having our wine available. So we have a great partner, which is Cavick Winery, which is a local winery located out in Carnegie. They've really been on board with this idea since the very beginning. Dr. and Mrs. Cavick will go to great lengths to make sure everyone has a great time. Their wine is wonderful. And so people who participate will get all the art supplies to make the artwork. They'll get two bottles of wine from Cavick Winery, and then they'll also get that link to participate. And we'll all log on. Dr. Kavik will give a little summary of what wines we're drinking that evening, and then we get into the artwork with Christy. So it's really exciting. It's a $50 donation to the organization. So we try to keep it reasonable with, you know, supplying the art supplies and the wine, but also making a little bit of money for the organization. So we're really excited about this event. And again, last year had about 100 people. So we're hoping, you know, to get upwards of 125, 150 participating this year.
Wow, that's going to be fantastic. I mean, this it does take quite a bit of coordination. And, you know, this is sort of the product of COVID, right? I mean, this is how it happens now. Events are hybrid, a little bit in person, a little bit virtual. And, you know, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, and it was interesting. Last year, we really wrestled with, should we move this to an in-person event? And we looked at a lot of our attendees, and probably 40% of the people participating are from outside of Western Pennsylvania. We have people from Kentucky, from Georgia, from Connecticut. So we really felt, you know, that this will probably, at least for the foreseeable future, remain a virtual event, just because a lot of the people that participate were once from Western Pennsylvania, but have since moved away. And this gives them a chance, if some of their relatives that are still here locally are participating, even though they're not together necessarily, they get to see each other, maybe interact a little bit virtually. So it's a really great event, and we're really excited about it for sure.
And hey, let's not forget the cost too, because then you have to rent somewhere, Jim. And then you have to bring, you know, you have to take that out of the ticket price, and all of this money is going toward the nonprofit, right? I mean, that's what this goes toward.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that is obviously, you know, when you have a live event in person, there are a lot of facility, you know, related fees associated with that. So yeah, that is a great point that you make.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so now we have to talk about the Taylor Swift guitar raffle ticket. What is this? Tell us everything.
Yeah. So during our golf outing, which happened earlier this year, we connected with an organization who helped us really find a lot of great items for our silent auction. And one of the items that we had available at that event was an autographed Taylor Swift guitar. And whenever we were sort of debriefing from the golf outing, someone said, wow, that would be a great item. You know, we should just maybe have a raffle. We think, you know, based on the popularity of Taylor Swift and how, you know, how many people went to her concert here in Pittsburgh earlier in the summer, you know, that might be a great opportunity for us, you know, to have a sort of a different event that we've never done before. So I reached back out to this gentleman, said, hey, is there any way we might be able to get a second guitar and maybe have a raffle for that? And he, you know, is a great partner as well, was very receptive to that idea. So that sort of got the ball rolling. Usually we'll do some lottery tickets throughout the year, mostly have been for cash prizes. So this is one of our first times we've actually done something for an item versus cash. But we've gotten a great response so far. We have 1,000 tickets to sell. So we have a lot of tickets to sell, but you know, we're doing a great job. We have a lot of those sold already. And it's sort of neat. Taylor Swift's birthday is December 13th. So that is actually the date of the drawing. So whoever wins this guitar will, you know, be able to celebrate Taylor Swift's birthday by winning an autographed guitar from her. And basically what we're doing, for a $20 donation to the organization, the individual will receive a ticket, and we're going to base the winner off of the 7 p.m. Daily number. So we will get the tickets. If someone wants the tickets, we'll get those over to them. And then we have a nice database of who has all the numbers. The very nice thing is that this gentleman will actually just drop ship the guitar to the individual. So we, you know, once we have a winner established, we'll give that winner's name and address, and he'll drop ship that guitar. And our hope is, you know, we're about 2 weeks before Christmas, you know, when the drawing takes place, the winner would have that, you know, if they'd like to give it as a Christmas present, or however they would want to use that guitar, they have the ability to do that.
Wow. Jim, you hit the jackpot on this one, right? I mean, this will make more money for the organization than any event you have.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. I think it's one of those things where our hope is that, you know, this is sort of ties into our annual appeal, which takes place around the same time. Usually about 20 to 25% of our annual budget comes from our annual appeal. We're hoping, you know, with this, that may bump that number up to 30 or 35%, which, you know, for an organization like that is like ours is huge, just to have, you know, a third of our budget sort of already taken care of for the year.
Yes, that's amazing. That's just absolutely tremendous. And, you know, you're so blessed to have that opportunity. And I'm sure ticket sales are going to be great. And so how do people get a ticket?
Yeah, and really this would be for either the paint and sip or the raffle tickets. Probably the easiest way, there's one of two ways, would be to call our office. And I'll give that number again. It's 412-566-1545. Or they can email our office, which is MGAWPA@MGAWPA.org.
Got it.
So let me repeat that because I know I messed that up a little bit. So it's MGAOffice@MGAWPA.org. But the easier way may be to call, which again is 412-566-1545.
Wonderful. It sounds amazing. I mean, what a great raffle. What a great way to get involved with everything that you're doing. How else can people get involved? Do you need volunteers? Do you need help on these fundraisers? What do you need from the public?
Yeah, sure. We can always use more volunteers. Absolutely. Especially I know a lot of your listeners are probably from Westmoreland County. That's an area that we would love to have more of a presence in. There are some new neurologists there at the Independence Health System that, you know, specialize in myasthenia gravis. So, you know, we really would love to be able to support their patients through programming. So if anyone is interested in volunteering, maybe someone has, you know, some background in fundraising or has some ideas about fundraisers that have been successful to them, and they wouldn't mind sharing that information. We always look, you know, we never want to recreate the wheel for sure. So if someone has a great idea, we do not mind, you know, partnering with them and trying to establish that as something we can do going forward. So yeah, please, if anyone would be interested, we're also always looking for board members. So if someone would have a desire to maybe take on a little more prominent role within the organization, we have a very short application process. Always looking to recruit additional board members as well. Just call our office, which again is 412-566-1545.
Wonderful. You also do some other events throughout the year, right? I mean, you do the free seminars and you also do a golf outing, I believe, right?
Yeah. So we do a number of different things in terms of education. Actually, usually every other month we do a virtual program, and some of those are very specific to myasthenia gravis. Others are a little more related to rare diseases in general. We, as I mentioned before, have restarted our in-person support groups. So we have just started those back in September. With the holidays and everything coming up, we may take a break until January, but we hope to do those on a monthly basis. And those are, again, a little more specific to people with myasthenia gravis, but, you know, obviously anyone who may have a rare disease is welcome to attend those as well. I would just direct people to our website, which is www.mgawpa.org. There's usually information about all of our education programming there. Last year was the first year we did a professional conference for physicians, nurses, social workers, other healthcare professionals, really trying to raise awareness about the disease. So our hope is to do that again in 2024. And yes, as you said, do a number of different fundraisers. We had a golf outing at the end of August. We'll probably do that again in 2024. And we also have our comedy show, which I know you and I have talked about on this show in the past, which we'll probably do. We're looking maybe towards next fall to do that. We may flip-flop the golf outing and the comedy show to see if we have a you know, a little bit different response to individuals for those two events.
It's wonderful. So before we finish up the show, why don't you tell people at home how the Association of Western Pennsylvania was founded?
Sure. So we were founded back in 1955. So we are an organization that has been around for almost 70 years, which, you know, for a small not-for-profit, that is not something you see every day, for sure. So we were founded, a gentleman His young daughter, she was in her teen years, was diagnosed with this very mysterious disease. He had never heard of it before. So back then, you know, you didn't have the ability to necessarily just go online or research things like we do today. So he put an ad in the local newspaper and said, hey, if anyone has this disease, we're going to have a meeting to talk about it and, you know, learn more about it. And a few people showed up for that meeting. And that was really the foundation of the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania. And almost 70 years later, again, we see roughly and support roughly about 500 to 700 individuals on an annual basis from Western Pennsylvania, as well as New York, Ohio, West Virginia, and Maryland, but take calls from, you know, many, many more from around the country and around the world. So, you know, from a very humble beginning back in the 50s to today, the organization has really, you know, stretched out over many, many decades and has done a lot of good work during that time.
And how about some of the breakthroughs? Have there been some drugs and some medical procedures, things like that?
Yeah, it's very interesting. It really, within the last 2 years, there's probably been more breakthroughs than in the probably last 20 or 30 years combined. There are probably three or four new medications on the market now for individuals with myasthenia gravis. I've heard very, very good things about them from people who take them. They've been really life-changing in some ways. So that would be something as well. And if one of your listeners there has myasthenia gravis, maybe has not heard about these new treatments, please call our office and we will gladly connect you with some additional individuals who come from those companies that have produced those new medications. And they can definitely explain a lot more about what they are, if they would be appropriate for those individuals, and how they may impact their lives.
One more time, give us the website, social, everything that you have for people to connect with the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania.
Great. Yeah. So our phone number is area code 412-566-1545. And the best email to reach us is our general office mailbox, which is mgaoffice@mgawpa.org. And if they want to just find a little more information on their own, they're welcome to go to our website, which is www.mgawpa.org.
You've got the Paint and Sip, the virtual holiday Paint and Sip celebration coming up on December 7th. Those tickets are a $50 donation to the organization. And then there's the Taylor Swift guitar raffle that's being called on December 13th. So now's your time. You've got to get in on this raffle. $20 donation gets you a ticket, the number 412-566-1545. Jim Joyce is the executive director of the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania, a support, education, and advocacy center. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jen. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
If you have an idea for a guest on the show, WHJB would love to hear from you. We host this show every Sunday. It airs at 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. Thanks for listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy.